Good morning and welcome to Zion. We want to welcome our visitors. If we have returning visitors or you are a new visitor this morning, please consider filling out the visitor card that you can see in the front, in the pew in front of you. And you could drop that in the offering basket later so we have record of you being here. I do want to especially welcome Portland Mennonite Youth Group and Kurt Weaver, who is a pastor there at Portland. They came up last night and spent the night here at Zion, and some of our youth got to hang out with them and went out for breakfast this morning, and they're a part of our worship this morning, so it's good to have you guys here. Also, we want to welcome those from Roca Hispanic Church by Calvary. They're going to be helping with the meal, serving the meal today, and also in our worship this morning. So let's stand for a moment and just greet those around you. Pass the peace of Christ. If you have an announcement, please come forward. We'll take a few minutes for announcements. And I will begin. You can see this sign. If you look in your bulletin, there's an insert that talks about small groups. And Zion's pastoral leadership team supports and encourages the formation of small groups. This is a way that you can grow spiritually in a smaller setting of people than what happens on Sunday morning. So please fill this out, and I will be at the back this morning with this basket that says small groups to remind you to turn in one of these inserts. Also, please take note in your bulletin of our Easter things that are happening the week of Holy Week. We're going to have a Maundy Thursday service and not a Good Friday service. We're inviting you to participate in the community, other churches that are providing ecumenical Good Friday services. So there's other things happening during that week to take note of. Thank you.
Hello. I just wanted to announce that tonight in the gym at 6 o'clock, I'll be sharing just about my time with Youth with a Mission, YWAM, this past half a year. It's at 6 o'clock, and there will be snacks, so everyone is welcome to come.
This is we're doing another movie night of The Miracle Maker, and it's in the bulletin for Saturday, March 26th, so right after Good Friday. The Miracle Maker is a really good movie for everyone, like not just for kids. Like, I want this to be a everyone kind of activity, so if you can be a part of it, we would love it. It's just going to be a movie night, and then afterwards we're going to have kind of an art time with clay, thanks to Doug Berkey. I hope everyone can come and bring good snacks. We're all bringing good snacks so we can eat our snacky dinner.
Also, on March 20th, Western Mennonite High School Choir will be a part of our worship service that morning, sharing music. I'm going to invite you to stand for our call to worship this morning. This is based on Psalm 146, so would you please stand And you'll see that I have men responding and women responding, and I will lead. Praise the Lord, O my soul.
I will praise the Lord as long as I live.
Do not put your trust in mortals. Princes, presidents, and celebrities cannot help you. We put our hope in God. Our help comes from the one who endures forever. God is the creator of all. God is faithful to his word.
God cares about the hungry and the oppressed. God wants prisoners to be free and the blind to see.
The Lord
protects strangers, takes his eye opens to the widows, and loves those who seek to live justly.
This is the God we love and serve. We will continue to praise the Lord as long as we live. Would you pray with me? God, you are gracious and you are loving, and we rejoice in this day, a day that you have made. I pray that our hearts might be open to worship you with joyful abandon. Open our eyes that we might take in the glory of your creation, in the beauty of your community when we come together. Open our mouths to sing your praises and our ears to hear your word anew. We ask by your Spirit that you would renew us and fill our entire beings with your Spirit and receive our worship as an offering of praise. Amen. Let's remain standing as Harrison comes to lead us in the first hymn.
Turn to number 285, Paul Hill Power of Jesus' name.
seated. Please join me in a time of prayerful reflection with a prayer of confession and reconciliation. Lord, like the prodigal son, we have each left our father and pursued our own way. Let us also, like the prodigal, return to God and confess our sins. Lord, though we run so far away, we are never lost from you. Though we take everything for granted and dismiss your grace, you never leave us or forsake us. We confess our tendencies to wander and to forget that all good things come from you. We easily become self-absorbed, that we don't see you sitting right next to us, desiring to wrap your arms around us. Open our eyes to see your beautiful presence this morning. Free us from the desire to take life into our own hands. And thank you for always welcoming us home when we choose to trust our own ways and make our own paths. Jesus, we choose today to follow only you. Amen. I'd like to invite the children to come forward this morning for the children's story. Come on up. Good morning, everyone. Come find a spot close by. I have a question for Matthew that he's been thinking about that he's going to answer for you today. And Matthew, we want you to share a moment in your life where God helped you seek and find reconciliation with someone.
Thank you.
First, I'll tell you about my experience, and then I'll read to you about someone else and their experience of reconciliation with someone. And that was actually with one of my sisters. And this was just a few years ago when I went all the way to Virginia to attend 3 weeks of classes about part forgiveness and restoring relationships that have been broken. Have you ever been in a situation where you were mad at somebody and they were mad at you? Or you just felt like there was real hurt between you? Have you ever had that? Okay. So I went and I heard these wonderful speakers from all around the world talk about this experience. And in the middle of that, I thought, what about me? Is there anybody in my own life? And I thought about my sister who lives in Ohio. And she has 3 children and 1 grandchild. And she is a nurse. And you know, there really wasn't anything really hostile or mean or angry between us. There was just silence. We didn't talk with each other very much. I didn't call her very much. She didn't call me very much. So when I was coming back from Virginia, I made sure I stopped at my sister's house and visited with her. And I said, you know, I am sorry. I have neglected this relationship between us. You're my sister. I'm your brother. Well, sometimes we still go a while without remembering to call each other. She's busy. But I felt like that was really important for me to say, I'm sorry. I haven't held my part of the bargain of being your brother. Now I want to read to you somebody else who was the story of somebody else who was faced with a very difficult decision to forgive someone. Can we all move in a little closer? Because I want you to be able to see these pictures. They'll also be presented on the screen. And this is from a children's book by Tommy DePaola, and it's about a man named Patrick. Have you ever celebrated or observed St. Patrick's Day? You heard of that? Yes? You know about it? Okay, so there's a Patrick and SpongeBob, okay, SquarePants, okay. But have you ever heard of St. Patrick and St. Patrick's Day? When you're supposed to wear what color?
Green.
Green, okay. Well, here's the story about St. Patrick, okay. Many years ago, during the time of the Christian Roman Empire, there lived a boy named Patrick. And he lived with his whole noble family in Britain, near the Irish Sea, and this was about like 1,600 years ago, 1,600 years ago. And if we could have the next picture, please. One night, fierce Irishmen from the island across the water came in their boats, and they raided the farms on the British mainland. And they captured many people, Patrick among them. He was only about 10 years old. And they took him to Ireland, next picture. And they sold him as a slave to a man named Miliuch. So now at 10 years of age, he has been taken from his home by angry people, mean people with weapons, and now he's sold as a slave. And now the next picture, please. Now that I own you, said Miliuch, I will take you to Mount Slemish, where you shall watch my sheep. And for 6 years in that strange faraway land, Patrick, who was used to warm clothes, good food, and a nice house, was a shepherd, and he was very lonely. And all he could do during that time was pray to God. The next picture, please. So he would pray during the day, sometimes all day long while he was tending the sheep, because God was the only person he had to speak with when he was there. Next picture, please. But then one night, during his sleep, a voice came to Patrick and said, "It's a good thing that you pray so much and fast, because soon you will go back to your own country. See, your ship is ready." And the ship was more than 200 miles away, but that didn't stop Patrick. Believing in the strength of God, Patrick went away fearing nothing. Next picture, please. So there he is going for the ship towards the ocean, and there's the ship waiting. Now, the ship was filled with hunting hounds that were being taken to France to be sold to rich people. And when the hounds saw Patrick, they stopped barking and began to wag their tails. Next picture, please. So there's all the dogs getting ready to go to France. Patrick offered to pay for his passage. Next picture, please. But the captain... Whoops. Well, next picture, please. There we go. But the captain worried that he might be an escaped slave and said, "I cannot take you with us. Get off my ship." So Patrick left. He began to pray that the captain would change his mind. And next picture, please. The hounds began to howl. "Those hounds were fine when that fellow was here," said one of those men. "But now that they're making so much noise, they'll raise the dead." "Run and go get him," said the captain, "or else we will have no peace on our long journey." So Patrick's prayers were answered. He was allowed to board the ship and set sail. And the dogs were quiet then. And after 3 days, the ship landed in where Patrick lived. Now we can have the next picture. And soon Patrick was reunited with his family in Britain. And they were happy and begged him never to leave them again. But the next picture, please. But once more, Patrick had a dream. This time, a man named Victoricus appeared to him. Victoricus had come from Ireland with an armload of letters. He gave one of them to Patrick. It read, "The voice of the Irish." And then Patrick heard voices calling from the woods, "Come and walk among us again." So he's being invited back somewhere. Where to? Where he used to live in where? Ireland, where the people treated him so badly and they made him a slave and they left him alone all cold and hungry in the fields with the sheep. Would you want to go back?
Yeah.
Patrick, next picture, please. Oh, I'm a little ahead of myself. Okay, Patrick woke up. He wasn't sure what the dream meant. And a few nights later, Patrick heard more voices calling to him in Irish, and then he knew what he must do. He must return to Ireland and take the people the good news of Jesus. And although it was hard to part with his family, Patrick left home to study and become a missionary. And finally, he was ready to sail for Ireland and take the word of God to the Irish people. And that's the picture there. He sold his worldly goods, bought all he needed for his work, and hired a boat. A huge crowd went along to help him. Priests, bakers, chariot drivers, all kinds of people. Patrick was now a bishop, and the work that God had planned for him was about to begin. Next picture, please. And shortly after the ship landed in Ireland, Patrick met a chieftain who was a good and kind man, not a slave owner. And this chieftain's name was Dichu. And he listened to Patrick talk of his love of God. He believed what Patrick told him and asked Patrick to baptize him. And then Dichu gave Patrick the barn that became the first church in Ireland. Next picture. That's Dichu's barn that became the first farm. Next picture, please. Patrick faced a lot of dangers in his work, but lots of people came to him and asked to be baptized, like you see in the picture. And that's how the church in Ireland got started. Next picture, please. And so all those, before he died, there were plenty of people who were ordained to be pastors and monks and nuns. And they traveled around the world, too, telling about the love of Jesus. And to this day, the Irish love their patron, Saint Patrick. So that's the story about St. Patrick's. Remember in about 2 weeks when they say at school, hey, it's St. Patrick's Day, everybody wear the color green. Okay, green for Ireland, because Ireland is green just like Oregon is. Now, Patrick had a difficult choice, too. When he heard the voices in his dream calling him to go back to Ireland to talk with them about Jesus, do you think that was scary or not? That was scary. He had to forgive. He had to make a choice to forgive the Irish people for the bad way they treated him. What if he didn't forgive them? Would he have gone back? Would they have heard about Jesus from him? No, not at all. But because he forgave the Irish people, he went back to share the love of God with them and planted churches there. Well, let's pray. Thank you, God, that you love us so much and have forgiven us. And as you have forgiven us, teach us to forgive others and help us to see all the wonderful things that can happen when we forgive. Amen. You may go back to your seats now. You like that?
Would the ushers please come forward for our morning offering? Let's pray together. God, we give our gifts in love and thanksgiving for all that we have been given. And we ask that our giving would be not the end point, but rather the beginning. Gifts of love and gratitude that can travel where we do not, making pathways of hope where there is none. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'll be reading from Luke 15, verses 1 through 3, and then verses 11 through 32. You will see on the screen two columns. So one is in Spanish, and the other column is in English. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger son said to the father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they begin to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. 'Your brother has come,' he replied, 'and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has him back safe and sound.' The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fatted calf for him.' My son,' the father said, 'you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.'" The word of the Lord.
Before I begin, I'm going to give just a little brief introduction, a little word, especially for our Spanish speakers among us, to explain a little bit of what's going on. Those of you who attend here regularly have met and heard Dr. Zygmunt Schrenk a few times, and I've brought him here. However, because of hearing issues and for translation, I will not be speaking in the imitation Austrian accent that I have, or try at least. I'll just do it in regular Midwestern Minnesotan accent, but just an explanation. Una explicación para nuestros amigos hispanohablantes. En lugar de un sermón, tendremos una obra de teatro basada sobre la palabra parábola que acabamos de escuchar del hijo pródigo. Normalmente hablamos del hijo menor, quien se fue y se perdió en un país muy lejano, un país de rebelión y libertinaje, pero esta vez nos enfocamos en el hijo mayor. Y no se perdió él también, no se perdió en un país muy lejano de rencor y amargura y resentimiento. Es una gran tentación para nosotros en Cristo. Y en esta obra de teatro hay un personaje que yo creí hace muchos años que se llama Dr. Sigmund Schrink, un psicólogo famoso austriaco. A él vienen personajes bíblicos para buscar consejo espiritual, como hoy. Pero hoy voy a hablar en mi acento medio oeste americano en lugar de acento alemán. So that was just a little bit of an explanation of what you'll be hearing in Spanish. I invite Mark to come up to help me. He will be the older brother. Come in.
Whoa, okay. Well, welcome to my clinic.
My name is Dr. Sigmund Schrink. And who are you?
Michael.
Good to meet you, Michael. And do have a seat, if you please.
Thank you.
Thanks. I'm dog tired and bone weary.
So weary that you fell down from doing what, if I may ask?
Working in the fields. I'm supposed to be working even now. At least my dad thinks I'm working.
And your father would not approve of your being here instead of working?
He would probably approve quite highly. In fact, he tells me all the time to take a break and get help. I just don't want him to know that I ever slacked off from working.
It sounds to me like the pressure to keep working is more from yourself than from your father.
Well, yeah. I'm proud of being a self-motivated, obedient, hardworking son.
Very interesting. So, let us proceed. What seems to be the problem that brings you here?
Well, it's the guy who used to be my brother.
Used to be, you say. I'm so sorry for your loss. When did he die?
He didn't die. You know, but I sure wish he would. The low-down, no-account, good-for-nothing scoundrel.
You evidently have very strong feelings about your brother.
Yeah, no kidding.
And just when did you first perceive that you have these problems with your brother?
Well, let's see here. I always knew he was a jerk. But then he proved it beyond all a doubt. And one day he came to my dad and said, "Dad, give me my share of the inheritance."
Really? He said that to your father in his face?
Yeah, you betcha. You know what that means, don't you?
Yeah, it means he wishes that his father was dead already. And he's saying so aloud to father, nonetheless.
It's hard for me to think of a more shameful, bald-faced way of humiliating your whole family, let alone dear old dad.
Yeah, that takes a cake, all right. Now, it's not unusual for sons to wish that their father were dead, especially if their fathers were over-controlling, autocratic, unfaithful to their mothers, or abusive.
Yeah, but he isn't. Dad is anything but. He's got his quirks, but there's nothing abusive or immoral about him.
But it was not you who made this rude, shocking, disrespectful request to your father. So why would you feel so much shame when you are obviously a hard-working, respectful, obedient son?
Hard-working, respectful, and obedient. That's me to a T.
Now, grief, anger, and outrage I can understand at your brother's request for the inheritance, but why the shame if you've done nothing to be ashamed of?
Well, because now we're the laughingstock of the community.
We, you say? So what did your father say to your younger brother after he asked for his part of the inheritance?
Poor old dad. You know, he puts him in his position. He said, well, as you wish, and gave it to him. Then he went right down, cashed in the family assets, you know, some livestock and tools and gold coins and stuff. And there were about 20, 30 good years of growth in those assets, mind you. And there it went, into my brother's pocket. That set us back, financially speaking, years, in addition to the shame.
Once again, shame. Tell me more about it, please.
Well, something like that you can't keep in a secret in a village like ours. Everyone told us, from the rabbi to the beggar in the street, that my father should not have given in to my brother's request. Even the beggar said it. The law of Moses says we can stone a son for such disrespectful behavior. At the least, we could have just declared the fool dead on the spot and then sat Shiva for 7 days. When word got out that dear old dad just gave him the money, we became the laughing stock of the whole village. I'm still ashamed to show my face.
Now, what you say makes me wonder.
Oh? Hold on a sec. I'll show you how ashamed I am.
This is one of the more severe cases of shame I have ever encountered. Now, what you say makes me wonder. Just, what is the source of your work ethic and all your virtue? Is it love for God and others, or is it more about your reputation and your image before people? You know, that's a common temptation of the religious life. Let me tell you, as a religious man myself.
Great. I come in to tell you about my former brother, worthless son number two, and now you're analyzing me.
My former brother, you keep saying. Very interesting. Is he not still your brother?
Well, I suppose in theory he is, but no. At least I had the nerve to do the right thing and disown the jerk. I mean, I never have to see his face again. Fah!
So, you think that your father should have done the same thing and disown your son as you have done?
Yeah.
And why do you think your father acted differently?
Well, because his head is as soft as his heart.
You know, I don't think that's the only reason. But you now sound very angry at your father.
I do, but I'm such a good boy. I'm not supposed to be angry at dear old dad.
And now you're starting to sound resentful.
That too, huh?
Resentment would be very normal under these circumstances.
But I'm not normal. I'm better than normal. I'm superior morally and spiritually.
Oy, oy, oy.
What did you say?
I said, you're the first of your father's sons, aren't you?
Of course. Does it show?
Yeah, I'm afraid it does.
You know, is there something wrong with being the first and the oldest?
No, no, not at all. I'm one myself. And many gifts come with our firstborn status. But so do some temptations, like resentment. Resentment can be very easy to confuse with righteousness. When you were little, for example, you were the family's only child, and the whole family showered you with lots of love and attention, right?
That's right. Yep, back in the good old days.
But then your brother comes along and steals away the love and the attention that once were only yours, right?
Yeah, and I'll never forgive him for it.
As I said, a seemingly righteous resentment is a common temptation for dutiful sons, especially like us, the firstborn.
Yeah, once again, you're making it sound like I'm the one with the problem. Not my brother, nor my father, for that matter. Why me, always?
Well, with your younger brother out of the picture, why would you still be angry at him? Isn't all the love and the attention now yours again, alone?
Well, yeah, but I hate having to beg for it. It would have, but guess who's back?
No, not your younger brother.
You betcha.
He had the nerve to come back after what he did?
That's right.
Well, what did your father do then?
Well, here comes worthless son number two, stumbling home on the road from which he left, smelling like something that died in a brewery over a week ago. And my father greets him like he's Zenobia of Palmyra.
How did your father know that he was coming back?
He was out there on the edge of town watching down the road every day. You know, so when he sees him coming from far off, he, you know, my father, he sees him and he goes running down there and greets him just like a little puppy.
Well, not very dignified for a man of his age.
Yeah, exactly. Very humiliating. Right in front of all the neighbors and relatives, he runs up and hugs the guy like there's no tomorrow. Kisses him even, and escorts him home right through the middle of town that was gathering and watching, you know, as all this went on right in public, as the news is spreading all over town. Some of them even had stones in their hands, and they were ready to throw, but what did Dad didn't, he didn't seem to care. He just didn't, it was fine to them.
Ah, evidently he didn't care.
So, you see how we were ashamed just not once, but twice, or even three times. Once when the scoundrel asked for his share of the inheritance, again when dear old Dad gave it to him, and thirdly, when Dad took him back. And with so much public display of emotion, all the hugging and kissing and weeping all over each other, I cringe to think of what all the neighbors and relatives are saying behind our backs.
I'm more concerned about what you are thinking. And what were your thoughts while this reunion and all this public display of emotion played out before you?
Well, you know what? I wasn't there at the time. I was out working in the fields, like he should have been doing. Instead, he was out seeing new places, meeting new people, unusual people, carousing lots of beautiful women, and drinking the finest wines, eating the cheeses. You know, and we were paying for it, of course.
And now you sound jealous of your brother.
Me? Jealous of that pig-feeding lowlife? I resent that. I would never even dream of doing what he's done.
Never?
No, never.
Never?
Well, hardly ever.
It would not be abnormal of you to occasionally be curious, at least, about doing such things yourself.
But I've never done them. Never.
Good for you. But why not?
Well, look what happened to my father brother. He used up all our money, all his money, our money, mind you. And there was all his new farewell other friends. Then a famine hit, and all he could do was for a living was feed pigs. He was tending to pigs, mind you.
Oi, 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 a Jewish boy tending pigs?
That's right. That would be funny if it hadn't happened to my own family. But what do you expect for such loose living? I could see it coming a mile away.
Very astute of you. Another trait common to oldest sons is cold, calculating horse sense, or scorekeeping, I call it.
Thank you.
That was not necessarily a compliment, but let us proceed. So, when did you first see your younger brother after he returned?
Well, I was coming home from the field late that night, dog tired from hoeing weeds, and saw the lights on in my father's house. Then I heard sounds of music and laughter and dancing from the inside. I asked one of the servants what was going on up there, and he told me that the rebel had come back. That's when I went ape ditty. I went nuts and refused to come and join the party. They hadn't even called me in to tell me. That's how little they evidently care about me. For all my hard work and steady dependability, what's my reward? Getting taken for granted and overlooked, that's what I get.
Or perhaps your father was so happy that he could not wait for your return to begin celebrating. Did you think of that?
No.
And what might that say about your father?
Well, that he's a thoughtless, muddle-headed old fool. His Alzheimer's takes me for granted.
I don't think so. From what you have described, one might also say that your father is a great soul given to great passion and joy, and therefore also to great suffering. He must have suffered greatly while your brother was gone.
That's right. Your old dad, all right. He cried a lot before that son of his returned.
And the fact that he gave your brother his inheritance in spite of the terrible shaming and the insult to himself leads me to wonder if he gave the money so as to keep open the only possibility left of ever getting your brother back someday, even if at great cost to the family fortune. Do you not see how much more highly he valued that worthless son number two, as you call him, than he did the family wealth? And that should reassure you of his love for you, too, if ever you should need that reassurance.
And what makes you think a guy like me would never need such reassurance?
For the same reason that I do. We're human.
I never look at Dad's actions that way. He has a big heart, and he's embarrassing. By the way, he you know, shows his emotion and laughs and hugs and cries sometimes.
Have you told your father how you felt about his treatment of your younger brother?
Yeah, I let him have it, all right. I told him, all these years I've slaved away for you, and never did I even get a baby goat to share with my friends. But when this son of yours returns, you killed the fatted calf for him.
You called the man this son of yours. Interesting. Is not a son of your father not also logically your brother?
Well, not anymore, he isn't. I told you.
Oh, right, right, right. You disowned him. I remember now. But still, he has continued to haunt you, hasn't he? Disowning people like that never works, you know. They only guarantee more cutoffs in following generations. And perhaps a younger brother is not the only one who is shaming his own father?
That's right. Dad's lost face before the whole community.
I wasn't thinking about the community.
Well, then, who else could be possibly shaming him?
Think about it.
Not me again. Come on. I object. I refuse to believe that.
But who laid into his father with such harsh words? And then what did your father say in response to you?
Let me think here for a second. Well, he said something like, "My son, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. We have to celebrate because your brother was dead, but now he's alive. He was lost, but now he's found." Are you all right, Dr. Trink? You all right, man? You all right?
I'm sorry. Excuse me. I wish my father had said things like that to me. He never did, you know. So many fathers never do.
That your brother's dead, but now he's alive? Was your brother a rebel and a runaway too?
No. I'm crying because he said, "My son, you're always with me, and everything I have is yours." That is so much like God. There's the gospel for you.
So?
So. But that is wonderful. He cries, he hugs, he forgives. Does he often speak to you like that?
Well, like I said, Dad can be quite gushy and demonstrative. What's so wonderful about that? Of course we're always together. What else am I to go and inherit everything? Besides, I worked for it. I earned everything at Dad's. But worthless son number two has already squandered his part. I sure hope he doesn't come looking for me for anything after Dad kicks the bucket.
It is not you who is taken for granted.
No. Then who, may I ask?
Think about it again a moment.
I'm drawing a blank.
Your father. He is the one who is taken for granted. And your brother is not the only one with a behavior problem.
You know what? I don't like where this is going. Me again. What have I done this time?
You are suffering from another condition common to the righteous and resentful. I call it gratitude impairment.
What?
Gratitude impairment.
Oh, so I'm the one with the problem. Again? When it's that man who shamed my dad and ran off to do more shameful things, and it's Dad who took it back like a conquering hero, so I'm the one who needs help?
If not, then why did you come to see me?
Because I'm miserable. When I should be happy and proud about my own conduct, at least throughout all this mess.
Yes. You should be proud and happy. Because up until your brother's return, your conduct was exemplary, and I commend you for that. But your gratitude impairment makes you unable to stop and appreciate the gifts that come to you that are totally beyond any question of deserving or merit. So you cannot appreciate the love right before you and all around you. You cannot appreciate the joy of having your brother back. No matter how good things are, you always fear that life owes you more than what you have received.
Well, it does, doesn't it? After all, I'm the one who stayed home and slaved away all these years.
Yeah, you could look at it that way and remain miserable forever and pull others down into your misery with you. Or you could say, I live with and I work for the world's most gracious and compassionate Father who forgives everybody and everything. And if he loves and forgives my rebellious brother, how greatly he must also love me.
And that would make me happy.
It doesn't make you happy already?
Well, I think I prefer my misery and resentment.
At least you're honest. Okay, but why? Because they are familiar?
Yeah, you could say so.
And they confirm your sense of superiority?
Yeah, I suppose.
You know, holding a grudge like that is like swallowing poison and hoping that it'll kill someone else.
Yeah, very funny.
And it never works. You will only keep getting sicker and sicker as long as you choose the misery of feeling separate and superior over the happiness of loving and being loved, of forgiving and being forgiven.
So, is that common to oldest boys too?
No, maybe, but it's a common temptation of the religious life. Actually, it's the human condition.
So, what you're saying really is that I'm no better than anyone else, including worthless son number two?
How does saying that make you feel?
You know, surprisingly, it actually is starting to feel a little bit like relief.
Welcome to the human race, my friend.
Well, we're all sinners and we're all broken.
Yeah, and we're also all objects of God's grace, too.
And if you're saying I won't ever be happy until I also forgive my younger brother like my father has, until I begin appreciating my father's compassion and forgiveness, and join the celebration of my younger's return.
Right. Otherwise, your poor old dad gets one son back only to lose the other.
Of course, you mean me.
Right, you. You and your brother have both been lost, just in different places. It's now your turn to come to yourself and return home from your distant land of resentment. And only loving and accepting love will make you happy again.
And that's all it takes.
Yep, that's all.
That's going to take some work.
Yeah, but I just noticed that a moment ago you started calling your father's younger son my brother.
I did?
Yeah. So your father's love is already starting to melt your stony heart. And remember, it's always much harder to carry the burdens of grudges and resentment than it is to just let the love in and join the welcome home party in our father's house, where the lights are always on in the darkness to welcome you home, wherever you have been, whatever you've done, and the sound of singing and laughter and dancing can always be heard.
Amen. Thank you, Doctor.
Rita will give you the bill.
I hope you take goats.
I will arise.
a warm welcome in Christ to all. Quiero dar la bienvenida a nuestros hermanos y amigos de Roca de Salvación. Ciertamente al Pastor Victor Estrada, giving a word of welcome to our friends from Roca de Salvación Church and to our friend Pastor Victor Estrada. Bienvenidos todos. Y anticipamos la cena que vamos a compartir de pronto. So we are looking forward very much to the meal that we will be sharing with you all. We were hoping to have some slides, some kind of a report about Vida Feliz, the senior center in El Torno, Bolivia, that we support. I wonder if there's a verbal report or anything that anyone would want to share. Karen, yes.
So I guess there will be no slides. Not sure what to do about that. I wanted to show you updated pictures of El Torno and of the Senior Center. Today we're connecting with the Senior Center in El Torno, Bolivia. We prepared a meal. The women from Roca Salvation started yesterday on this meal, and it's for a fundraiser for the Senior Center in Bolivia. We've been doing this for a number of years now, and they're very thankful for the generosity of Zion and Roca Salvation and Calvary, who have supported persons at the center for salaries. The Senior Center is run mostly by government assistance, but also it's difficult to get salaries for the administrators. And so Zion has blessed the Senior Center in this way, in a big way. Also recently, a donation was sent for the Senior Center from Zion, from an estate. And they're using these funds for finishing a building that needed a second story on it before the rain destroyed the flat roof. And so that is getting done, and it should be finished in a couple months. And so I just want to thank you, Roca Salvation and Zion, for all the support you've been giving, I'm representing the Senior Center today. Wendell is there, and he's there for 6 weeks, and he's overseeing the construction work of the Senior Center, but also there to help Rebecca and Chris get settled in their home. And if it's possible, he would like to Skype this afternoon, so during our meal, we might get a connection on Skype. Thank you. Digo algo en español. Yo quería agradecerle a Roca de Salvación y a Sion por la generosidad que han dado al centro. Hoy día íbamos a tener una muestra de fotos y parece que no vamos a tenerlo, pero en la iglesia les puedo mostrar. Pero son fotos que recién nos han mandado de la construcción que están haciendo en el centro de ancianos y también del personal que está trabajando ahí y también los abuelitos. Y son fotos bien hermosas de sonrisas. Es un lugar de felicidad. Y gracias, Roca de Salvación, por su apoyo. Bendiciones.
This week also we received the news about the death of Donita Garber after many days of waiting. And the memorial service will be next Saturday here at 11, following a 10 o'clock burial service at which all are also welcome. We didn't share earlier that there's also a viewing at Canby Funeral Home on Friday, March 11. I think it's 5 to 7, but we'll send word around by email or call us if you'd like to know about that as well. So please keep Willie and all their family in your prayers. It's a bittersweet time, a time of loss and separation, but also a time of triumph and celebration of her life and faith to the very end. And her parting words to me when I visited with her just a lesson just a few days before she died was she's looking forward to the reunion with all of us, too. I hope that I face the final hour with that same kind of confidence and even joy. What other joys or testimonies, cares or concerns would you like to bring to our attention for prayers today and this week? Please raise your hand if you have one. Yes.
This is Anna, and I'll hand the mic to Eva.
In September, I'm going to be a big sister.
Oh, congratulations. Okay. Yes, it's Randy.
I just wanted to say it makes my heart happy to see everyone here and to see us all come together to celebrate something and to help together.
So if you notice in the prayer requests, EMU students are going on service projects this week, so if you want to put some faces to that. Bethany is going on a civil rights learning tour, and Brandon is doing serving with Appalachian people. They're going to be addressing substandard housing, sharing the message of God's love, and building relationships in Eastern Kentucky and West Virginia. So if you want to think of them this week, I'm sure they're going to learn a lot.
Thank you. Yes, Jenna.
Our brother Chewy will be released from prison on May 16th, and he has to live in Marion County, and he could go back and live with his parents in Woodburn, but he prefers not to. So we're trying to find a place where he can live. If you can offer something, I know he can live in an RV, so an RV in Marion County would work. Come talk to me or elders or church council people, that we're trying to put the word out there. It'll be exciting for his release and helping him transition smoothly back into life, but he has to live in Marion County. So I just want to spread the word a little bit that people can be thinking about that.
Yes, and keep praying for Chewy as he prepares and transitions towards release and life here outside of prison. Any other cares or concerns or testimonies or joys? And I invite you to join me in prayer, a prayer that will close with the Lord's Prayer in the language of our hearts and our homes. Al fin de mi oración, oremos juntos. La oración del Señor, el Padre nuestro, en los idiomas de nuestros corazones, nuestros hogares. Dos idiomas a la vez, como no. O tres, si se habla un idioma indígena, nativo en nuestro hogar. Let's pray. Yours, O Lord, are the kingdom, the power, and the glory now and forever. A kingdom we are of priests for you, called out from every tribe, tongue, and nation, the first fruits of a renewed and redeemed creation. As you have called us to be such, so empower and enlighten us to be. Remove from all hearts and homes any root of bitterness, even if hidden to ourselves, and plant in its place tender shoots of faith, mercy, compassion, and gratitude. Feed these shoots with your word and water them with the gentle rain of your spirit and your mercy, even while you uproot all that was planted in fear, pride, and greed. We thank you, dear Lord, for the presence of friends and family of faith with us, the ministries that we share, the life in Christ that we share. And we lift up for your blessing, O Lord, the church, the leaders, and the members of Roca de Salvacion and their ministries, as well as the ministry that we share in common, Vida Feliz and El Torno Bolivia. We thank you as well for Eva's big sister coming. May your blessing be upon that sister's growth and preparation for life here. and for our students, Brandon and Bethany, and the learning and serving experience that they will have this week. And for Chewy, nearing the end of his term in prison and all that he has learned and the ways that he has grown, we thank you for that, and we pray that you will pave the way for a place to live and work. We thank you for what you've done already on his behalf. Bless among us all who mourn most deeply the loss of Donita Garber, especially Willie and their siblings, children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, who share the faith, hope, and love that she commended to you. Thank you as well for her love, faith, service, and witness. And dear Lord, hear as well the other prayers and concerns, the burdens on our hearts that we bring. Let your blessing be as well upon the ministry of El Torno. Your Spirit knows best, Lord, how we must pray and what we would pray. And what more can be prayed than what your Son, our Lord, taught us to pray whenever we pray in whatever language. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
May God, who makes all things new, dwell among us and give us life. Go in peace.